we had a pretty good first hour. We had a lot of stuff going on that people are still responding to on Twitter. If you would ever like to reach out on Twitter to either Alan or myself, at Alan Sliwa, at Travis Rogers, these are good ways to reach out to the show. You can call us as well anytime you want, 877-710-3776. For instance, Drew in L.A. writes, didn't Derek Carr's older brother have the same reputation? We're talking about Derek Carr getting called out by Joey Bosa for being a guy that curled
I mean, a real called out.
Yeah, no, I mean, here it is again.
We knew once we hit him a few times, he really gets shook. And you saw on CeCe's sack, he was pretty much curling into a ball before we even got back there. So great player. He's been having a great year. But we know once you get pressure on him, he kind of shuts down and he's not as effective.
Once you get pressure on him, he kind of shuts down. This is from Danny H., who says, Trav, as a Raider fan, I admit Bosa's right about Carr. Ever since his injury, looks like he has PTSD about getting hit hard again, and he panics a bit. Look, I would.
No, that happens.
When you get hit like that, 100%. You're going to be terrified. But it's also really hard to play that position if you're worried about where a hit is coming from.
You can't. That's going to stop you from being the best quarterback that you can be. And by the way, I just kind of say this, and that, you know, if you've ever done something where this is a bad example, I'm just going to give an example. You ever turn your ankle playing basketball?
Sure.
You ever go down on somebody's foot and turn your ankle just around the paint, you know, going up for grab a rebound? Impossible. After you do that, you don't think of that every time you jump when you're in the paint
for 5 years.
I mean, I'm outside the 3-point line. I'm thinking about that. And I just use that from a quarterback perspective. If that is the case for Derek Carr, that's an issue. That's an issue. And when you put that quarterback out on blast after a Monday night football game, Chargers and the Raiders, nationally televised game, and then we sit here and have already played that one sound bite, we played it three or four times in the first hour of the show.
No, because you never hear it. You never hear a player from another saying, that guy over there, soft, frayed, not tough. That's what he's saying. I mean, when you say that a guy is rolling into a ball, that you don't have to touch him, that if he gets pressure, it's kind of over for him. Those are not throwaway lines. And then we've got this one from James. It's from Garrett. Garrett says, how are we overlooking Pujols in center? I don't think that's a likely scenario where Albert Pujols is playing center field. But we talked about it. Five guys. You got Pujols, Bellinger, Taylor, Lux, and Beedy. Those are the five guys you got to fill center field and first base. You had Pujols at first and Taylor in center.
Yep.
I like Beedy at first with Bellinger in center.
By the way, Greg Bergman, a quick little conversation in the hallway. He has the same as you have.
Same as me? Yeah. Okay. I think you get a little of both. You get good defense in center field with not much offense, but you get a hot bat and a guy that the numbers are telling you can play first base and has 50-plus games in his major league career at that position. We'll see how it goes. Lots of people want to weigh in on this. 877-710-ESPN. Let's start with Kyle in Los Angeles. Kyle, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up? Kyle.
Hey, what's up, guys? You go with defense in the playoffs, and Bellinger in center. Beatty's a lefty that can hit the righty Wainwright, and then you have Albert come off the bench. But, Travis, what I wanted to ask you was, and if we could figure it out, and I assume Dave Roberts can, how many games do you think he cost us this year that we ended up in the wild card game?
Who?
As a manager?
Is this the same guy that says he can't manage?
Wait. Don't hang up on him. Is it? Just be honest if it is, because it's kind of fascinating if you have a different name every time. Because I think it was a different name last time. Kyle, what's your real name? Just give us your real name.
My name is Kyle.
Maybe it's not the one.
It feels awfully familiar. Thank you, Kyle. They won 106 games. Are we really going
to
sit here and say
had to be the guy?
Yeah.
Had to be the guy, because I've heard so Matt, too. Kyle, Tom, Richard. Yeah, I've heard them all.
I was just waiting for he couldn't manage a Denny's. That's his go-to line or whatever it is.
Okay, just to play off of that, how many more games if the Dodgers look? I get it, and I actually have probably a little bit different of a stance on that game tomorrow. But you won 106 games. You're stacked. Trav, the Dodgers have no excuses coming into the season. But let me just point out, it's not like they were healthy the entire time. It's not like there wasn't other matters that went on during the season that, you know, obviously saw you lose one of your pitchers. You did go out the trade deadline and grab the two studs in the trade deadline that have been unbelievable for your squad. You won 106 games. 106 games. I don't know if Dave Roberts could have done anything else. throughout a 162-game season. What the hell do you want the guy to do? He got 106. They didn't not win the division because of Dave Roberts.
Here's what I know for sure. Okay, I've been critical of Dave Roberts on multiple occasions. I think that he does some things that make me scratch my head and go, what, huh? They, like you said, they won 106 games, and I'm going to forget a bunch of stuff. This is off the top of my head. You lose Dustin May early. You lose Trevor Bauer early. You lose Clayton Kershaw for a long period of time. You have Corey Seager go down for half the year. You have Mookie Betts miss a bunch of time. You have the worst season of Cody Bellinger's career. You have Chris Taylor go cold for a period of time. AJ Pollock misses some time. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. That all of this together added up to 106 wins. You want to criticize the manager? I'm here for bad decisions. I'm here for, hey, when he didn't hit Pujols in that one situation,
remember,
I still, for the life of me, don't
understand
what
was happening.
You were
a New York Times journalist trying to figure out, you know, you were reaching out to every contact you've ever had.
There are times when I don't get it, but this is not, he did not cost his team any more games than any other manager cost theirs. Let's try another one. Garden Grove this time, and Corey. Corey, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it, man.
Hey, why not moving Trey Turner to center field? I'm afraid, you know, Lux with the run into the wall, he might have the yips a little bit, maybe second guess. Trey Turner, you know, brought him in for the legs, and then you can put Beatty at first, and then you don't have a hole in the lineup. And that's my suggestion.
Corey, appreciate you calling in. Is he suggesting then Lux goes to second?
Yeah, I would think. Here, can we just... Gavin Lux is swinging a hot bat, and I'd like to find a way to get him in the lineup. Gavin Lux is a mediocre infielder, too. Okay, I get it. He's a top prospect. He can swing the bat.
I think he'll get an at-bat tomorrow. He'll have opportunities tomorrow.
He just absolutely
shouldn't be there to start
play
the game.
In that game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as I'm trying to look it up right now. I know he's played a little center field in his career, Trey Turner has, but here's what I can just say without looking up the numbers exactly. If the Dodgers wanted to use him in center field, there was ample opportunity to experiment with that, and they didn't. You know what I mean? I don't think that now is the time that you do it. I get it that, you know, necessity is the mother of invention and all that, that you don't have Muncy and now all bets are off. But he's kind of settled in at second base. That's where they've had him the vast majority of the time that he's played, a little bit of shortstop. I think he might have played a game or two for the Dodgers in center field. But to just rant, Bellinger is a center fielder. We can live with that.
Yep.
Matt Beattie is a first baseman. You can live with that. Mm-hmm. Or is he, you know, the second coming of Keith Hernandez or Mark Grace with the glove? No, but he's also not a guy that's never been over there before, which is exactly what Gavin Lux would be.
Can I say something about tomorrow, Trev?
Hit me.
Do I feel like I'm starting to hear already, and we haven't even played the game yet, a lot of excuses?
I don't think they're excuses. I think it's just anxiety and fear.
Frustration?
And nervousness.
How about frustration?
Yeah, maybe a little. I'll give you some frustration.
I'd like to set it up this way. You and I have been saying this for the last month, and anybody who has any common sense understands that the Dodgers being in a wild card game is the biggest crock of you-know-what. Any team that had 100, I even hear people say, well, if it was the Giants in that position, I wouldn't care. No, let's put that aside.
I'm with you.
Nobody should be in the position that the Dodgers are in, but they are. After this season, we may very well see something different happen in Major League Baseball where they just reseed this thing.
Wouldn't be surprised at all.
Just go 1-4,
especially
1-5.
Especially with them being a CBA year.
It's simple, yeah. Very simple. Like there's an easy correction
reseed
to this.
It.
Other sports are already doing it. But the one thing I don't want to have happen tomorrow is people complaining. The one game playoff is very frustrating. But if I told you got Max Scherzer on the mound, you got this Dodgers lineup that's obviously incredibly stacked, who scored 180 runs over the last two games.
Yeah, 45-6, yes.
You have so many players that are absolutely hot. You got the veterans. You got champions. You got, you know, what Trey Turner's done since he's become a Dodger, what Corey Seager's done in September. If you saw his numbers, he's getting on base. He's getting on base 46% of the time.
Yeah.
Go down the list of all that. You're at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. The place will be obviously packed. It's going to be a great environment. Dodgers just got to go take care of business tomorrow, Trav.
Yeah, they do. Everything
they just
got to
go take
true,
care of business tomorrow.
But I don't think it's an excuse or preloading the excuse machine with pointing out the fact that this is an incredibly random sport. Look, the Dodgers won 106 games. It's the second best in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Miami Marlins, okay, 7 times this year. Marlins are lousy.
Sure.
The Marlins are a bad baseball team. The Marlins beat the Dodgers more than they lost.
What month did they beat them?
Earlier in the season.
Yep.
But they played 7 times. The Marlins won 4. The Marlins stink.
Can I give you an example here? There's going to be times in December where the Lakers are going to play the Detroit Pistons and might be in a game, or Oklahoma or Houston, may even lose one of those games. When you're in October, like the Dodgers are, and I get that you can lose any one of these games, and I'm not saying this is a perfect scenario. It's not. And the Cardinals have played unbelievable, and Wainwright's won 10 of his last 11. Right, so have the Dodgers. Just go get that one tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Shut all this noise up. Then you'll go up to San Francisco, and it's mano a mano against the Giants.
I completely agree, but I don't think it's an excuse to look at the randomness of this sport and be concerned about a bad day. Or not even a bad day. They could have a pretty good day, and Wainwright could have a better one.
And they lose 2-1, 3-2.
Exactly.
They didn't have a good day.
Well, I mean, they didn't have a good day from an offensive standpoint, but they didn't make three errors. You know, Max Scherzer didn't get chased out of the game in the mm-hmm. third inning. It's not one of those things. They could play. Look, they could lose 5-4, 6-5. And it doesn't mean that they played poorly. Max Scherzer gives up, you know, 2 runs in 6 innings. That's not a disaster. It's not lights out, but all of these things are in play. And I hear you, what you're saying about early in the year, Al, and I get it that the Dodgers finished on a hot note, but they lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks a week ago. Arizona's the worst team in the National mm-hmm. League. They lost to them. They lost to the Colorado Rockies 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Colorado's okay, but they're not great. They're on the wrong side of
winning,
500.
They're winning 80% of their games over the past.
I get it, but mm-hmm. it's not that. It's who had a better pitcher that day, who had a hotter hitter that day.
All I'm saying is this. It's lined up for you. It's BS that it's lined up this way. But it's lined up for you. Go take care of business tomorrow. Then you get a chance to go up to the Bay Area and let these two unbelievable franchises go slug it out.
Dodgers and Cardinals played 7 times this year as well. Dodgers won the series 4-3. Hmm. But of those games, St. Louis was 3-0 in one-run games. So that when the Dodgers beat them, they pound them. When they don't, when the games are close, the Cardinals came out on the right side.
It's going to be a close game tomorrow.
I think so, too, yeah. Which does 3-0 for the Cardinals in that situation. Sergio in Highland Park. Sergio, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up? Sergio. Last chance. Hey.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
All right. Sorry about that. Love the show, man. Glad to got you guys on for another hour.
Thanks.
I think you have to take defense. You have to play Bellinger in center. There's no way. We're not going to lose the game because the ball, you know, split the gap in the middle where we know Bellinger could run it down. And then BD at first, I mean, he's swinging a good bat. We have to just ride that one.
Yeah, thanks, Sergio. I think let's go back to, and it was kind of a funny moment because everybody was safe. Nobody got hurt long term. And the Dodgers ultimately ended up winning 106 games. Imagine if it's the 7th inning and it's 2-2. Or imagine it's the 5th inning and it's 2-2, and there's a ball hit solidly to the gap in left center field. Cody Bellinger catches that ball in his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin Lux hit the wall face first.
Does Chris Taylor catch it in his sleep?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Cody Bellinger catches that ball 99.9 times out of 100. Chris Taylor probably gets there 97 times out of 100. Gavin Lux is a 50-50 ball. I don't need a 50-50 ball in center field.
I don't think you're going to get one caller that's going to call in or suggest or is going to tweet at us that Gavin Lux should be at center tomorrow. I don't think anybody's going to. I think the only question you can make is a case of whether it could be Chris Taylor, but it sounds like most people want to see Bellinger there.
Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Let's try one more, and mostly because we've had such good luck with our female callers that say awesome things. I want to go to Rebecca in Los Angeles. Rebecca, you're on with Travis and Slee.
Hey, guys, what's up? Honored to be checking in on this. I'm definitely on the same page as everybody else. I think Beatty, he's got a hot bat right now. We should put him in at first. He's got some experience there. I mean, look, it would be great to see Albert play first in a game against the Cards. He's so fun to watch. We love our Uncle Tito. But realistically, I think the move is to stick with Beatty. Bellinger, obviously, he's a liability when he's at the plate. So be it, but we do need him in center field. We can't risk Gavin Lux running into the wall again, having another collision with one of our really great defensive players. So I think the best move is we take the hit with Bellinger at the plate, we put Beatty at first, and we just get through this game and we get to the playoffs where we deserve to be, because this wild card is a crock of, as you guys said earlier, blank. I hate that we're here, but we are, and we will push through and we will make it to the playoffs where we rightfully deserve to be.
Thanks, Rebecca. Guys, you need to step up your game.
Yeah, go grab a sheet of paper and some notes. Yeah, that's guys, execution
to,
right there.
You need
there.
To step up your game. That was well done, Rebecca.
Rebecca, you're on the line. Bam, she starts right there. She keeps going. By the way, I'm not even – there's no air in between.
No,
every single play, everything she's
like
saying makes sense.
Yeah, no, that was good.
The hell was that?
I'm very – Keisha, Rebecca, and I forget the other woman's name that called us that was pretty good too, where she broke down everything from when she got up that morning to when
that's
she
right.
pulled out of the Dodger Stadium parking lot. That I forgot her name, but she was good too. She brought up something good too, that you Gavin Lux is going to get an important at bat in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Albert Pujols is going to get an important at bat in that game, and being able to deploy them exactly when you want, I think there's some advantages to that too. I don't know if you can call Albert Pujols Uncle Tio. That's redundant. That's uncle or Tio.
It's true.
Okay, so
yeah, it's true.
It's you know, he can be El Tio or the uncle, but I don't know if you can be Uncle Tio. That's I don't speak Spanish very well, but that seems redundant to me. It's Travis Lee. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Lakers.
We got to do that GM survey that we talked about. So if you're a Laker fan out there, actually a couple things we do when we come back. Number one, Pau Gasol officially retired as a Los Angeles Laker. Now it's just a question of when is he going to get his jersey retired? That's mm-hmm. number one. And then the second thing, the NBA GMs came out with a survey, some interesting stuff of who they think's got most likely to win the championship. Where do the Lakers rank in that? MVPs, all that. We'll do that coming up next day right here. Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.
All right. Are you dealing with a dead battery? If so, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, or if you're in need of a fresh charge. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can hook you up with that too. They've got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So the next time that you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So are we still on for 12 o'clock for your victory lap presser where you want to just educate the masses on your football expertise?
First of all, I wouldn't call it a victory lap.
Why?
I would just call it it's a long season.
Yeah, true.
And every single week, you just try to bring out the best that you possibly can. I need to move it to 12:15. I got a couple of things, conflicting things on my schedule, so we're going to move it.
You're getting on a show in Vegas and giving your picks. You're, you know, hey, listen, this is Alan Sliwa. Yeah. I do nothing but pick winners. If you want winners too, call me right now. All I need is your credit card number, and I'm going to give you the play in the Thursday night game. I got the winner right now. Rams and Seahawks going tonight right now. How many games a week do you play? Do you play five? I got five winners. Do you play 10? I got 10 winners. I'm Alan Sliwa, and I pick winners. Right?
I can still pick winners.
Bro,
and why mess up a good thing? And
that's so good.
I mean, that's
that was so good. That was
every one of those commercials everywhere.
That was at 5 a.m. in Vegas, some type of radio station. It's like a bookie, gaming, whatever it is. Mine would be a little different. Mine would be like, not sure about this game. Not 100% sure.
I don't know.
40-60 right now. 40-60. Those are my odds.
Hey, you pick 60% right, you're going to make
money. 40. I'm 40. I'm 40 on that.
Yeah, that's probably not what you want.
Okay, so real quick here as we mm-hmm. get into the Lakers. ESPN LA, our Twitter page, put out soon, and it has the 1 and the 6. Can't wait to celebrate Pau Gasol's legendary run.
Yeah.
And it's got a photo here of all the Lakers retired jerseys, and they put Pau right next to Kobe Bryant, all right? So obviously one day we know Pau's going to get his jersey retired. Jeannie Buss, owner of the Lakers, governor of the Lakers, retweets it, said, "It was never a matter of if we will retire number 16, but when. Congratulations on your retirement. Pau Gasol, stay tuned. Lakers love." We know Pau's going to have his jersey up in the rafters at Staples Center, officially retires. I thought, you know, before I get into this NBA GM survey, let's kind of spend a quick second on this. The Lakers have had so many different great players to represent their organization. Yesterday, a perfect example, Stu Lance came on Lakers Talk, and we're talking about LeBron.
Okay.
Stu Lant's been the color commentator of the Lakers since 1986. Started with Chick Hearn, right? Mm-hmm. Since 1986. So in just that time, it's Kareem, it's James Worthy, it's Magic Johnson, it's Kobe Bryant, it's Shaquille O'Neal, it's Pau Gasol, it's LeBron James, it's Anthony Davis. That's just in that time. That's not me going back to the Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, all that, okay? I feel like with Pau Gasol, and this is just, I've always been excited about when he gets his day to get his jersey retired. And I say that because, you know, when he won his championships, won two of the Lakers, it's Kobe's team.
Sure it is.
No question about it.
Yeah.
I always thought Kobe was able to take Pau's game to another level. And I always thought, you know, there come a time, and of course, you know, unfortunately, I always felt Pau getting a chance to talk for Kobe getting a chance to talk for Pau. Like, there's such a connection between those two players. And a lot of times we always say, it's Kobe and Shaq. Kobe won two more after, and he did it with Pau Gasol. And Pau was obviously such a foundational piece to it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a day to recognize Pau Gasol, and one day, hopefully, out at Staples Center, we'll get to see his jersey in the rafters.
Yeah, I feel the way that you do about Gasol. He was one of my favorites. I loved him. And you know, you didn't have to be a super basketball-y insider sort of guy to know how valuable he was to that team. But there was also a piece of me that felt like he didn't get enough credit. Like, there was, to your point,
I agree with you.
Shaq and Kobe are held
attached
on equal mm-hmm. plateaus. Shaq is one of the greatest players of all time. Kobe Bryant is one of the greatest players of all time. They're equals in almost every single mm-hmm. way. But with Kobe and Pau, there's that gap. And look, and Pau's not one of the greatest players of all time. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's not in their league.
Of course.
But because he's not on that level of greatest of all time, now you can make the argument he might be one of the greatest non-American players of all time to play in the NBA.
Yep.
Him, Hakeem,
Dirk
there, mm-hmm. but he's on that list to be sure. But there was always that, it was always, oh, Kobe won five and three with Shaq. Pau never got that boost that I thought he deserved.
Well, you know what's funny is, part of the reason why I look forward to when they announce that day and Pau Gasol gets his jersey up in the rafters is because I think Laker fans feel the same way you and I do, where no. There's a tremendous amount of affinity towards Pau Gasol,
sure.
But he hasn't had that moment where we can all sit there together and appreciate him, and you know, Pau Gasol can just stand there. Just what an illustrious career that he had, and he won two championships. Just think of that moment when Pau is sitting there and Genie is there, and other, you know, Laker greats are there, and that jersey comes down, and I hope it's right next to Kobe Bryant. You know, I hope that jersey up in the rafters is right next to Kobe Bryant, and I think he will get his moment, and I think, you know, when you say, if it feels like he didn't, if you have the feeling in your mind, I don't know if he got as much love and respect than he should have, then your gut instinct is probably right. He's going to get that, and I think a lot of Laker fans will look forward to that moment.
You know what I like about him that you couldn't say this about Shaq and Kobe and Magic and Kareem and all of these other guys. You know, LeBron is in a different category as well. There was, and I don't mean that those other men weren't this, but this was just right there on the surface with Pau. He was such a real guy. You know, like you could tell when he was feeling something, you could see it. It was all over his face. It was all over his body language. That when Kobe would call him out, you know, put on your big boy pants and that kind of stuff, that you could tell like it would hit Pau in a certain way. You know, Shaq's response would have been, you know, shut up, little brother. I'm going to, you know, I'm the brick wall and you're the Corvette and do all the Shaq stuff. But Pau wore it also personally. It was also human with him. You look at LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, Shaq, they look like superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get it. Pau's a 7-footer. He doesn't look, but there was I don't know what it was about him that felt far more tangible and real than some of these other guys.
I love, too, you know, Lakers lose that championship in 2008. By the way, there are a lot of times, too, the moment Pau came, it was like, okay, Lakers are instant contenders, but there was a lot of finger-pointing as, oh, Pau's got to do this. Pau's... Can I give you a competent example? Walking into this season for the Lakers, you know, in my opinion, the biggest storyline coming to the Lakers this season, it's Anthony Davis. AD has to be that player that is competing for a most valuable player. AD has to be the player. If he has an MVP type of season, Lakers are going to go win another championship. the finger will get pointed the way it was with Powell, where it was like they didn't win. Mm-hmm. Powell, we need more from Powell. He ended up delivering for the Lakers. AD obviously has got one under his belt. We'll see what else he can do.
Let's try a quick win here. Let's go to East LA and Ruben. Ruben, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Glad to be on the line with you guys. Hey, you know what? The Pau Gasol's number has to be next to Kobe. A lot of people don't know, but Pau and Kobe used to speak Spanish to each other just to run plays so the other teams wouldn't know.
By the way, just to kind of play off that, and I appreciate you calling in, how about even now? You know, there's a lot of photos you'll see. Pau is with Kobe's family. You know, it's a really beautiful thing. Pau now married, has a kid of his own, and that connection is still there. So that just kind of adds to, you know, obviously the allure of this.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. All right, so that's the Pau piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
The general managers in the NBA have decided that the Lakers are something that I think Laker fans are not going to like. We'll get into that next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. And, of course, because I don't pay attention half the time.
Factor Cap
is coming up, too. That's right around the corner. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. No, thank you. I didn't like that cut then. I like it less now. Great movie, though. Absolutely unbelievable. We were talking about it this morning before we came on the air, Al, that Training Day.
Alonzo,
that's what it is.
Alonzo, Jake, who was the guy? Smiley.
I have seen that movie a handful of times. I cannot remember I have a weird memory for movies and dialogue.
You
and
actually
scenes.
Know you're pretty good at that.
But this movie, which I love, I cannot pull.
Okay, do you think? By the way, Training Day, fantastic movie.
Also, that movie made me never want to smoke PCP. After what was I it did that to movie? Ethan Hawke.
That movie.
I'm like, you know, I'm good. Look.
That movie kind of changed the tide.
The odds of me smoking PCP were pretty low to begin with.
Sure.
I'm not really a PCP kind of guy.
Well, it's good. You need a Training Day to really kind of solidify it.
That doesn't look like a lot of fun. I really don't want to smoke PCP.
Random question. Since we're doing the whole Denzel thing, if I saw Denzel tomorrow at a Lakers game. Lakers don't play tomorrow in L.A. at Staples Center. But if I saw him and I say, Denzel, remember that one time during March Madness you walked into the media room? I was there. Cam Brothers were all kind of sitting there. Remember when you asked us about? Al.
I'm Alan.
Al.
Nice to see you again. We've met before. I hate that, by the way. Oh, we've met previously. Yeah, well, I don't remember that. Please stop saying that.
I don't think
that.
He'd look up at me. I think the whole time he'd just be like, can you move, please?
I do like that he kind of just went into the media room. It's like, why didn't somebody stop him? Excuse me, sir. You don't have a credential?
It's happened before. Another time in the media room, you know, just rolled in to use the media restrooms as if they're like the greatest restrooms ever or something at Staples Center.
There's one.
No, they're not.
There's one in the back.
Kanye and Kim.
No kidding.
Yes, just strolled in. I'm like, well, they don't have a wristband.
Somebody
the right coach
can
stop them?
there are certain people that can go wherever they want.
You know,
cool.
If you want to get the dinner, $7 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Did Kanye pay? I mean, I didn't see any money.
Never once bought the dinner. I'd always go for the free PB&J out of the fridge.
Oh no,
that was my go-to move.
They made a lot of money off of me before COVID.
Occasionally, I'd hit that hot dog that's over on the side over there. Just a quick one before
I was
the
eating
game.
Like a king over there. was taco day?
that was always good. The chips and the chili. That's a good way to do it. Let's do a little factor cap.
Yesterday was my first thunderstorm in Los Angeles, which I feel like most people don't experience ever.
You don't get a lot of those out here. Those are pretty rare.
Yeah, so kind of felt like at home, which is nice.
35-minute delay in the Monday Night Football game?
It was raining.
So, what did I text you? I text you that if we get a 3.5-hour delay, I'll just get through Lakers talk, get a chance to watch the whole game.
Exactly.
So my statement is that all jobs should have weather delays. Travis, is this factor cap?
Cap. I mean, I don't know if we would have I'm trying to come up with a scenario, Al, where you and I would have a weather delay with it's, I don't know, cloudy outside so we can't do our show. Maybe it's a Californian in me that, look, I've lived in three places. I've lived in Southern California, Phoenix, and
Serbia.
Briefly in Serbia.
Yes.
Just in and out. It wasn't there very long at all.
1 month.
The weather and all these, it's warm weather cities. Houston gets a little cold. But now, let's just muscle through it. Let's do it. At football games with a roof, I get it. Lightning's a little scary and a little dangerous. Let's muscle through. We don't need any weather delays.
Okay, this is fact. I'll tell you why it's fact. The weather delay, Trav, it's because people don't know what to do when there's just a couple of jobs. If you're in a city where the weather's always bad, if you're in Chicago, if you're in New York, if you're in Philly, you're in Boston, this is what you do. You're accustomed to this. Go drive on the 405 when we had 30 minutes
missed
of rain.
Yeah.
30 minutes of rain, all hell breaks loose out on the roads. And we depend on our cars more than any other city, right? It's not we yesterday we talked about this. Public transportation.
Yeah, not for
how
me.
Am I somebody say, hey, get to Santa Monica, use public transportation. I told you I'll end up in Arcadia, right? Like I have no idea how that works. Weather delays only because nobody knows what the hell to do. So I think this is a fact. Weather delay, we should get the week off.
Well, I like that idea.
So yesterday, Facebook and Instagram were down, which I know really, as I say, really affected you guys deeply. But you could go the rest of your life without social media. Alan, is this fact or cap?
I hate to say this. I think I go cap. I'm very dependent on social media now.
For what?
The news that we get, reading articles, it could be from a work-related thing. You're looking at, just let's use Lakers as an example or just any of these stories. You're seeing what beat writers are doing. Can I, yes, go on their websites? Yes, I can. But the reality is YouTube counting as social media?
That's a good question. Yeah, I'm the wrong person
I would
to
say
ask.
Yes.
Because I spend a lot of time on YouTube watching whatever it is that I'm watching. Like I don't think... Can I guess you can, but it's not a preference, and I hate to say that.
Yeah, I could go without it. I had a good 2-year run where I didn't look at it, period, mm-hmm. and it was a great 2 years. I loved not looking at it because the vast majority of it is in one of a couple of – it's unnecessary, it's mean-spirited, it's wrong.
Oh, all that, you're right.
It's just – it's factually inaccurate, and the few things that are in there, like you said – I can go find him somewhere else. I could.
What about TikTok? Can you be without a week on TikTok?
You want to get me to not pay attention to what you're saying? Throw the words TikTok into the sentence.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell
that is. I am out. It is a lead shield. Boom. I'm out the second I hear it. Next.
All right. An efficient went viral this weekend for updating the people at the ceremony with a Notre Dame score during a wedding ceremony. So you're allowed to watch a game on your phone if the wedding is during football season. Travis, is this fact or cap?
Ah, cap, but just barely. It's okay to sneak a peek at a score. I don't know if you can watch the game. You know what I mean? Like, if you're at the wedding and you're in the church or wherever you're, there's the beach or there's whatever, synagogue, wherever your wedding is taking place, okay? If you've got your phone out and your AirPods in and you're, you know, say, hey, they should go for it here. That's a problem. If you just want to pick out your phone and say, oh, okay, they're up by a touchdown within midway through the third quarter, I'm okay with that. Can't watch the game at the wedding.
I got a great idea. You know, we get this a lot. You're driving around, you get like weather updates, right? Or traffic updates. Okay, hey, don't go on the 405. This happened and that's happened. What about once an hour during the wedding? You have an update guy.
You got a guy come out with a referee, blows a whistle.
No, you just have an update guy. You know, you might have a very, very important thing that you want to say, that you want to reference to from the Bible. But when that person's done, then a quick little 60-second update. We keep this within 60 seconds. Go through the AL and the NL couple scores, couple top 25 teams that you have on there. You're in and you're out.
Tammy, do you take Bill to be your timeout? Dodgers just scored a run. They are now ahead 5-4 in the bottom of the sixth inning to be your lawfully wedded husband. What? Bill, hold that thought right a second. The Rams have just scored a touchdown.
UCLA just blew another lead. They just blew another lead.
Okay, you're on to something here. We should have that.
An update guy.
Perfect.
It adds more revenue. It creates more jobs. It's helps the economy.
I was going to say, you've just solved a whole bunch of
social problems.
Helps
the economy. We don't need $3.5
trillion. All right, what's next, Emily?
Speaking of who should be the NL MVP this year, Trey Turner, mm-hmm. he has the most swag on the Dodgers. Alan, is this fact or cap?
It's cap. Mookie's got the most swag. Here's another thing. First of all, Trey Turner's not trying to – he's not trying to – it's one thing if you're trying to do it, and he's not trying to be anything. He just happens to slide like a baller and then just continue his
it's like a
walk.
Dance move.
I would have turned my ankle, stumbled 3-4 times, end up in the opposing team's dugout.
Just a barrel roll into the first base dugout.
But I would have walked away like that was all planned.
What's up?
Yeah, that was all planned. Mookie's got the most swag.
Yeah.
He just does.
Yeah.
He's got a certain cachet to him. So I'm going to say Mookie. By the way, something you should spend more time on, you tell me behind the mic, you're like, this is BS about this whole Trey Turner not being in the conversation for MVP. You can do that a little bit, but I think Mookie's got the most
sway. I agree with you that Mookie has the most, but Trey Turner is a very close second. And what makes his swag so good is that it's low-key, right? That if you just looked at him, you'd be like, no, nothing. And then you see him move a little bit. You watch the way he runs. You watch the way he slides. You watch the – he's freakishly athletic, and, well, he, and he's – he's got and he's got that low key swag where he's not really trying, so it actually elevates it a little bit. Mookie's number one, but Trey Turner's right behind him.
There's some requirements for swag. Kuzma, you could say, okay, the guy had swag.
He didn't have the game.
But you got to back it up on the floor. Trey Turner is ridiculous. Cody Bellinger has some swag to him.
He does.
Cody Bellinger's
out less so now that he cut his hair. Honestly, he looks like a Boy Scout now.
Well, you know what else?
I need the long, shaggy bro.
You know what else has kind of hurt his swag? He's batting 110 in September.
That's not true.
Trey Turner. Trey Turner's got two grand slams in their last three games or whatever it was.
Yeah, that does help.
That has something to snag.
Why did, hey, Cody, real quick, why did you cut your hair?
Did Sliwa tumble all the way in?
I was really hoping you'd give me a little Cody Bellinger right there. Bro, wasn't getting any hits. I had to cut the hair.
So who's going to be center? Who's playing center tomorrow?
Do you think it's going to be me? Who knows? All right, with Trey Turner in mind.
Bellinger should actually say, I think it should be Taylor.
CT3 is playing pretty well. All right, we're going to talk about the NBA GM slate.
Yeah, we're doing that, by the way.
We're doing that for sure.
I know we promoted it nine times. We're actually going
to
do it this time.
I did some math this morning, too. And whenever I do math, I feel like I need to put it out in front of the universe because there's like a 83% chance that my math is wrong and I need you to fix it. But Trey Turner should win the MVP. That's all coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. That was the same guy.
That was not a good feeling.
That was the
same guy. I'm like, give me your real name. He's like, it's Kyle.
I don't know. Because it was the exact same format as the other guy, right? Which is, I'm going to call, I'm going to talk real baseball for about 30 seconds, and then I'm going to quickly segue
it at Dave
into
Roberts.
Dave Roberts doesn't know what he's
you
doing.
You know what that sounds like when we talk football about Matt Stafford, and then you just segue into a little Jared Goff action.
I said something nice about Jared
Goff
today.
You did, actually. Can I say something real quick? How cool would that have been if he said, yup, it is me, guys, and I do this? I was intrigued. Well, it's kind of fascinating. Like, he waits 30 minutes to get on, and then when he gets on, he's using a different name. This is like next level.
I'm more concerned, or not concerned is the wrong word, curious.
Do you go into the morning saying to yourself, what name am I going to be today?
That's what I was getting at, right? Like, this is the part that is most interesting to me is, how did he land on Kyle? Like, why not Carl?
Why not Ralph?
Why not Steve or Bill or Dave or Alan or Travis or Michael or whatever it might be? Like, what made him decide that Kyle was going to be the name today? Because I don't think that was his name. He didn't come back, no, my name's Kyle. It was, no, my name's
Kyle?
That's what it felt like.
Hope he's JJ tomorrow. Just kind of find another name.
Look, whoever wants to call by any other name, I prefer the women because they're batting 1,000.
Who was it
we
today?
We don't get a ton.
Was that Rebecca?
That was Rebecca. We've had Rebecca, Keisha, and we cannot remember. We've been kind of brainstorming it together.
I thought it was Stephanie.
Stephanie sounds,
I said Claire.
I don't
you said
think
Stephanie.
Claire.
And then
I don't know because I really like the name Claire, and I think I would have remembered Claire.
Yeah.
But it could be. It could be. I don't know.
All right, I got a stat for everybody. Today's stat hero of the day is the Lakers championship odds. So NBA.com, they do this every single year. They come out with a survey. It's a 2021-2022 GM survey. All right? They're going to give their predictions. So every general manager is going to give their predictions.
Okay.
Last year, when the question was asked, which team will win the 2022 NBA Finals? 81% of the general managers thought the Los Angeles Lakers will repeat their championship from which was still has not been one full year ago. Okay?
That's crazy.
They were in the finals bubble. Against Miami.
The bubble finals.
81% was last year. This year, the Lakers are now 17% favorites to win the NBA championship. Brooklyn dominating at 72%. Lakers 17. Milwaukee comes in at 10%. Okay? Let me take this layer by layer here. I want to go to another Laker one. Players who will win the 2021-2022 Kia MVP Award. Who's going to get MVP this year?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Giannis Antetokounmpo was 32%, and LeBron was really close behind him.
Uh-huh.
KD from Brooklyn, 37%. Luka, Dallas, 33%. Giannis, 13%. Embiid, 7%. Harden, 7%. Steph Curry. I'm 6 through. I haven't mentioned LeBron or Anthony Davis. Neither of those guys were a part of the mix, at least for the first 6 players in the NBA, from a GM survey of who will win.
Yeah, this is not fans.
No, this is the general managers.
General managers.
Okay, last one that I want to point out. If you're starting an NBA franchise today and could cite any player in the league, Luka's number one at 43%.
I'm Michael's line. Duh.
43%. Giannis is 40%. And then also receiving some votes was Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. Okay.
Okay.
This is the theme that I kind of take away from this. The theme, Trav, is I don't feel like there's – am I just in my own Lakerland world where I feel like this team is going to be unbelievable, they're going to win a lot of games, it's going to be the Lakers and the Nets in the finals if they're all healthy and, you know, that part works itself out?
Mm-hmm.
I've made the case – I asked Michael Thompson this a couple days ago – LeBron or Anthony Davis, better shot at MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually, you were right on the money. It was about 57% Laker fans thought Anthony Davis better shot than LeBron. I don't feel like much Laker representation here. Is it just because I got my Laker hat on, or are these GMs not as optimistic as I may be?
I think there's a little bit of both. I think that you've got your Lakers tinted glasses on a little bit, but I also think that there's some real questions about the Lakers coming in. I'm bullish on them mostly, but I'm also aware of the fact that LeBron James is going into year 19. He's coming off the first season where he missed an extended period of time. Anthony Davis is injury prone. Russell Westbrook and fit is at least a reasonable question to ask at this point, whether or not it we'll find out sooner than later. So I get it, but I don't get it to this degree.
72% Brooklyn to 17%?
No, that seems out of whack. Look, I'm going to let Herm Edwards answer the question as to who's going to win and which percentage.
You play to win the game. Mm-hmm. Hello? You play to win the game.
Right. Was there anybody that had the Bucks and the Suns in the finals at the end of last season?
True. Yeah.
Okay, we can sit there and say, if an injury aside, somebody gets hurt every year. Kyrie Irving
They have to make the assumption right.
I get it, and that's how we all do it. But Kyrie Irving is the ultimate wild card.
He's You're 100% right about
the
that.
The ultimate wild card. Now, do the Nets have a chance without him? Sure. Do they have a much better chance with him? Of course they do. The Lakers had come off a season where their two most important players missed a lot of time with injuries. I get it. They've had a longer offseason, all of these things. There are extenuating circumstances, but this is I'm going to throw out the worst cliche in sports. This is why you play the games. I don't know. You don't know. LeBron James doesn't know. Kevin Durant doesn't know that you have to go through the process because somebody on one of these teams is going to have something happen that we weren't expecting. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe all of a sudden Russell Westbrook has another MVP-type run in him, right? I don't know. Maybe Kyrie Irving literally refuses to get vaccinated and ends up missing every home game. I don't know. There are so many different variables in this that, yes, are the Nets and the Lakers the two heavy favorites? Of course they are. But I don't know, man. That it's what is that? 4-1
It shouldn't be 72-17.
No, 4-1, 3-1. That's insane.
And the reason why the Lakers were 81% odds going into last season, not only had they won a championship, James Harden wasn't traded yet to the Brooklyn Nets, so you knew that was going to obviously have a significant impact. But 72% to 17%, that shouldn't be the case. Stat Hero, the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa show. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the players the advantage. Go to stathero.com. Make sure to type in /710ESPN for 300% back on your first play.
Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. I got another stat for you. It's not quite a Stat Hero stat. The Dodgers had 4 of the top 10 guys in jersey sales this season. That 3 of those names, like, huh? I just don't get them at all. 1 makes perfect sense. 3 don't make any sense at all. Plus, we had a really fun Monday Night Football game last night. It was interesting. I think that the tide turned maybe just a little bit for the first time, for me at least. I'm curious as to whether or not you felt the same way. It's all coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.